Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words and wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come before God's people as we explore the Word of God together. I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and hear what the Spirit has to say. We are living in trying times. There's all kind of things going on every side. But we, the children of God, realize that God is still in control. And I like to say, I'm not going to panic till I have evidence that God has left his throne. And I know that's not going to happen. So I continue to walk in faith, believing that God is going to work it out together for our good, knowing that he loves us more than we could ever love ourselves, knowing that God's will for our lives is to be full. God never set us up to fail. God is trying to work in and through us to achieve his intended purpose that he had for all of our lives before the foundation of the world. Well, we have to trust him and submit to him and let him have his way. Our program tonight is coming out of the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. We're going to expound on the first and second verse. And I want you to know that the Bible was inspired by God for his people. So as we get into the word tonight, before we do it, I'm going to play a song that's called My God is an Awesome God. Do you believe it? Do you really believe and understand how awesome he is? Each week when you come in and go to your church and go to Sunday school and go to Bible study and look at the TV evangelists and things, TV evangelists on the TV. All of that is word that should be strengthening you. The word of God is where God reveals himself to you. He lets you know who he is, why he is. He lets you know his power. He lets you know everything he planned to do for you. And in it, he also tells us what we need to do. But once the more you know about God, the more you would begin to understand things about yourself. You could never know who you truly are until you really understand who your maker is. So I'm going to play this song, and when we come back, we're going to go to the throne of grace. And if anyone at that time would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and you could bring us to the throne of grace. Listen to the music. Be prayerful for our Bible study tonight and ask God to do some great things within this Bible study tonight. Pray for one another. And let's just be on one accord.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. Great, and he's greatly to be praised. The worship psalm that says this: our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
His strength where I've been weak.
Where I've been
weak. Forever he'll reign.
Forever he will reign.
Come on, say my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. If you know he's awesome, say it.
Forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
Song is so true. God is our protector. Keep us from the rain. God is providing for us every day, Dick, y'all. He wants us to know how he loves on us. And it is his desire that we love back on him. And before we go to the throne of grace, I want to let all of the listeners that has called in on the phone know that when the program is going on, I cannot hear anything in your, you know, in your house or wherever you're calling from. The only way I can hear, you know, the sound from where you're calling from, your surroundings can come into the studio is once you press the one button and I open the mic that you may pray. So I wanted people to know that because I got some calls and the people wanted to know how could they do to keep the sounds down in their house, you know, when they call and if they got children. We cannot hear any of those sounds. So I wanted to let y'all, everybody know that before I move on. At this time, it's time to go to the throne of grace. Anyone who would like to pray can press the one button on your phone. I see that my grandson has called in tonight, and I say called in because the weeks that he has been praying on the line, he's been calling from Oklahoma, where he's out in Oklahoma on vacation. And I thank him from taking time out of his schedule to call up and lift us to the throne of grace. So, Madison, you're on the phone?
Yes, ma'am.
How you feeling today, darling?
I'm good.
And you would like to pray for us tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
You could go ahead, darling.
God, thanks for allowing us to wake up today. And please watch over us each day. And please allow us to wake up and live out the days that you give us with joy and excitement. And please allow us and remind us that you are watching over us so we can never feel alone when we are down. Thank you, God. And thank you for leaving us the Bible so you could give us full information that is wonderful and that can help us live out our wonderful life that you gave us, God. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. And I thank you for that, Madison. And I'm looking forward to seeing you this week when you come home because I really miss you, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you. If anyone else would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone because it's never too much prayer, never too many prayers. I see a caller has pressed the button. Caller, your number is 35562. Your mic is open and you could, you know, pray, ask for prayers, encouragement. You could do whatever you want at this time. Caller 35562. Your mic is open.
Okay, Miss Diane, this is Kathy Farsworth. How you doing? My dad and I are listening to you, and I just want to say a quick prayer. For one thing, I want to thank the good Lord for giving you the knowledge to come out and teach us, because I really appreciate it, because it keeps me from going to Bible class at my church and leaving home. I can have Bible class in the dinner my own home. Another thing I want to take and ask God, thank him for saving me, because I had a medical injury this weekend. It was Friday. One of my kidneys got down on me. So I thank God for saving me and giving the doctors, the nurses, and everybody that helped me with my situation. Also, I just want to thank God just for everything. He does everything, waking me up in the morning, giving me my health and strength to continue and doing my daily chores or whatever I have to do. Did I want to thank God for just being God, just being the Heavenly Father, the Creator, for everything. But I also want to take this time to ask God to strengthen this world. Every day I read about so many things that's happening. And I would just like God to take the time to touch these people's hearts and show him his way of doing things is a better way than going with the devil. Because the devil can't do you no good at all. Go your way, Lord. And just thank you for everything. And Heavenly Father, amen and hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Sister Kathy. You did a perfect prayer. I thank you for the encouragement. I thank you for the praise report that you put in, and I thank you for you acknowledging God for who he is, and I thank you for doing intercession as you prayed for this world. That's a complete good prayer, and I say thank you, and I thank God for you, and we're going to keep lifting you up in prayer that your kidney will continue to work and be effective for your body. Love you so much, and thank you.
Love you, too.
If there's anyone else who would like to pray or say anything, we can do it at this time because this is our Bible study. We have the ability, and God has given us the forum that we can, you know, change it up sometime, and we could do whatever necessary, and we could, you know, mix it up. So if anybody else would like to pray, you can. If not, I'm going to go ahead into the lesson because some more callers have called. And the title of our lesson tonight is, It's a Mind Thing. It's a Mind Thing. And we're coming from the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. As always, I do introduction and give a little research on a certain subject. Tonight I want you to know the author of the book of Romans is Paul. Paul understood that he could no longer conform to the world or the law or the errors of his teaching he had received. You remember Paul's religion was Judaism, and they didn't believe that Christ was the Savior, but they did love God. And Paul was taught that way. But you see, once he met Jesus, he began to conform not to this world anymore. He let the law lead because he knew of grace, the errors of his teaching that said that Jesus was not the Messiah. Paul got the truth, and he walked in it. You see, Paul allowed the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, along with the Word of God, to transform him by the renewing of his mind daily. Our mind should be renewed daily in the things of God because it's a process. We're not going to meet Christ and get all perfect. Because if we could have did that, then, you know, that would have been good. But God knew we couldn't. That's why he sent his son. You see, Paul wanted to please God at any cost. This is the attitude we should have and strive to glorify God, which is with our living. Turn away from the world and allow the Word of God to fashion us for God's service. This should be our goal in our new life we receive through Christ. We should be ready to conform to the things of God, renew ourselves daily with the Word of God, and transform our lives. Then learn to live as a living sacrifice unto God. And part of the background I'm going to do tonight is about sacrifices. You see, in the Old Testament, God required animal sacrifice to provide a temporary covering for sins committed by mankind. You remember the sacrificial system was in place, but God allowed it back then. But it couldn't take away the sins. It only covered the sins. You see, this process was never intended to be a perfect solution for sin. It was only the foreshadow. It was only to foreshadow the perfect and complete sacrifice of Jesus Christ. See, God allowed sacrifices to be in place. You know, he accepted that as it just covered the sins. But God wanted you to know that one would come. That was a perfect sacrifice, and his name was Jesus. You see, once man fell, sin entered the world. And all of us since that time was born with a sin nature. You know, and you say, well, then, you know, you have a sin nature. Sure you have a sin nature. Look at the little children that you know, your grandchildren, your children. They could be in a house. And when they get ready to do something wrong, they look to see who's looking. Sometimes they go in another space to do their dirt. So that goes to show you they have a limited knowledge of right and wrong because you're born with a sin nature. You see, Paul wanted to please God, and that's what we should do. You see, after man fell, sin separated us in our relationship with God, and God allowed animal sacrifices in order to dwell among the people. You got to remember, God hates sin, and God don't want to be in the presence of sin. So God made the system of sacrifices, and it would cover the sin, and God say, I will be all right with you at that time. But like I say, God, the animal sacrifices could not take away the sins, so the people had to make sacrifices over and over and over again. Whenever they sinned, they had to make it again. If they did something wrong, they had to make it again. You see, animal sacrifice is an important theme found throughout Scripture because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The shedding of blood was necessary. And I'm going to bring you all the way back, and you can say, oh, I see. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, animals was killed by God to provide clothing. You remember when they sinned and they realized they was naked, they hid, and they put the fig leaves over them? Because, you see, that's what sin does to us. Even though we do sin, we might like doing sin, and plenty of us don't like the sins we doing because of the shame and the guilt that comes along with it. But you see, when they sinned, they knew they had done wrong. And God killed the animals and made permanent clothing for them. And as I said earlier, it was a covering. He killed the animal, took the skins, made the clothes to cover. It was a covering. But it didn't take away Adam and Eve's sin. If it would have, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. You see, the animals was killed to cover their sin and shame. And as I said, it didn't take it away. So we see that sacrifices, the sacrificial system was placed even way back then. And then you see, when we look at Cain and Abel, you know, the Bible talks about Cain and Abel, and Cain's sacrifice was unacceptable. It was fruit, while Abel's was acceptable because it was the firstborn of his flock. You know, the Bible does not say why Cain's sacrifice wasn't accepted. It doesn't say it. But I'm going to just interject some things of perhaps at this time. You see, perhaps Cain's attitude and the manner he gave it was improper. Or perhaps his offering was not up to God's standards. It might not have been even his first fruit. The Bible doesn't say it. Or it could not have been the best. And some even like to discuss the point that it was unacceptable because it was not shed blood. We don't know, but it wasn't accepted. So that let you know when sacrifices came into being. It go way back. And you might say, okay, Sister Diane, why we no longer offer animal sacrifices today? You see, animal sacrifices have ended because Jesus Christ was the ultimate and perfect sacrifice. You know, when we see when Jesus got baptized and, you know, he didn't start his ministry until he was baptized, and John the Baptist recognized this when he saw Jesus coming. And look what he said. See, words have strong meanings. He said, look, the lamb. You know, lambs was often sacrificed. But look what he said. Look, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. You know, that's how John the Baptist described Jesus as he came to be baptized. And we know once Jesus was baptized, he started his ministry. He was at the age of 30 at that time. His ministry lasts for 3 years, and at 33, he was crucified. So when we look at this, we can see how it got started and what was God's purpose and what it is today. You see, Jesus paid our sin debt once and for all. You know, once saved, they say always saved. Once you accept Christ, you have salvation, and you haven't. And the price that Jesus paid by being the ultimate, perfect sacrifice, it didn't have to be done again. You know, we don't have to have a holiday once a year where Jesus is going to be sacrificed again and again and again and again. When Jesus did it, it was done. It was complete. All of our sin debt was paid in full. You might say, and some people say, especially animal lovers, why did God allow them to sacrifice the animals? They didn't do no wrong. But God used the animals that were sacrificed. They died in the place of the ones providing the sacrifice. You see, you had to bring your animals to be sacrificed for your sin, and different animals was for different sins. And according to how big your sin is, you might have needed 3 goats instead of 1 goat. You might have needed 2 bulls instead of a turtle dove. You know, so it was a design program that God had put in place to allow their sins to be covered temporarily. And he let them know that one would come that would take care of it once and for all. And his name was Jesus. So they say the animals didn't do anything wrong, but yet they're being sacrificed. But I come to tell you, Jesus also did no wrong. He wasn't, you know, on a cross because of his sins. He was sinless. But he willingly gave himself to die for the sins of mankind. And the scripture to back that up, if you go to 1 Timothy 2:6, 1 Timothy 2:6, it says, Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself and died in our place. And also 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We could never be righteous, y'all, but God is extending his righteousness towards us. You see, God knew that man in and of himself could never get it right, and making sacrifices over and over again could not take away the sins, and the process had several burdens. God never intended his people to have heavy burdens. It was never his intention. So you see, in Matthew's, the 11th chapter, the 28 and the 30 verse, Jesus said this. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burden, and I will give you rest. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you believe it? That lets us know how God wants us to have a burdenless life. You know, when you follow God, it's less burdens you have because you don't be worrying about the wrong thing. You have enough trust in God that no matter what's going on in your life at the time, that he can work it out. You know that God will make your enemies your footstool. You know, we know these things, but do we believe them? You see, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, through faith in what Jesus accomplished, with faith in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross, once and for all, we have been forgiven. You got to know it. Paul comes in Romans 8:1 and say, there's now no condemnation. You see, many of us and all of us, if we accepted Christ and we accepted him with our whole heart, we are forgiven. But we allow our past to come in our mind and burden us down. We sometimes sit down and think of the shame that we have in our lives, or had in our lives. You see, we beat up on ourselves sometimes more than others does. But God said, my yoke is easy. And Paul said in Romans, there's no condemnation. You have been forgiven if you accepted the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember that. Let the past be in the past. But don't bring your past, failure, sins, and into your present. It's crazy. So our first scripture is Romans 12:1. And the scripture reads as follows. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And it's the part I love. And he goes on to say, which is your reasonable service. That's only reasonable for you to present your body as a living sacrifice for all that Jesus has done. That's what he did, and the scripture is asking you, to present your body as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. You see, when we think of sacrifice, we have to go back to the Old Testament, which I did in some of the review. But you see, under the covenant, God accepted the sacrifices of animals. But these, as I say, was temporary solution, was a temporary solution. But because of his ultimate one-for-all-time sacrifice on the cross, the Old Testament sacrifices become obsolete and are no longer in effect. You know, Jesus always said, I didn't come to condemn the law, but I came to fulfill it. This is one of the things of being a fulfiller that was a part of the law. Sacrifices was a part of the law, and they had to do that to be faithful to the law. But here we see the Bible telling us that Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice. It was a more acceptable sacrifice. It was a better sacrifice. So he didn't abolish sacrifice. He became the sacrifice. And it was much in a better way. And now with this scripture, he's asking us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So you might ask Sister Diane how we do that. So we're gonna just show it in a lesson tonight. For those who are in Christ by virtue of saving grace, to receive grace, which is a gift. I want to let you know you can't be good enough. You could have never do enough. You couldn't even, with all of your goodness, with all of your reading, with all of your studying, with all of your going to church on Sunday, with all of your Bible studies and all of your Sunday school, you could never, ever earn it. Remember, God freely gave it. You see, the only acceptable worship and sacrifice we can present is to offer ourselves completely to God. You see, under God's control, the believer yet unredeemed body can and must be yielded to him. See, when it says our yet unredeemed body, we still live in a corrupt body. We'll take off this corrupt body and put on an incorruptible body when Jesus come back and get us. So until then, our yet redeemed bodies can and must be yielded to him. We could never become the righteousness because we have a sin nature and we are wrapped up in flesh. And flesh is where sins dwell. And sometimes, believe it or not, flesh have its way. That's why they always say about the battle that's going on daily between the flesh and the spirit. You see, the flesh want what the flesh want. The spirit want the things of God. I come to tell you tonight, sometimes the flesh win, and sometimes the spirit win. But we want to submit more and more unto God. You see, in view of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus for us, we should keep in mind and do what God asks us to do, which would be our reasonable service. Hallelujah. You know, have you ever stopped to think about what God expects of his people, how to live, what we should do, and what we should not do? We should remember that all sacrifices which were brought to the altar were of the highest quality. That was God's demand, but they didn't always do it. And when they didn't do it, just like Cain, they paid the price. Come on now. It was supposed to be of the highest quality. It's supposed to be first class, and it had to be acceptable unto God. But that's how God wants us to be. We are Christian. We are peculiar people. We have been set apart. We have God on our side, and we should look like it. We should present ourselves, and we should have a look of high quality because of who we are. We should become first class because who our Savior is. We must live a life that is pleasing to God. Jesus was sinless, which made him a perfect living sacrifice. See, Jesus was a living sacrifice when he walked the earth because he did the will of his Father at all costs. And the Bible teaches us to take on the image of his Son. So he's saying as Jesus was a living sacrifice when he walked the earth, he taught, he helped the poor, he was encouraging, he was kind to everybody. Come on, y'all. Take those qualities on like Jesus was a living sacrifice and we're supposed to present our body as a living sacrifice. I'm trying to get you to understand what the scripture is saying. And you see, Jesus continued to be holy and acceptable unto God, even unto death. We must be willing to become a living sacrifice every day. This is a long-term commitment. We got to stop compromising our faith whenever it's convenient for us. It's a long-term commitment. We have to stop treating the things of God, and then when we don't want to do them, it's like we're taking a vacation from it, and then we're going to come back. I want you to know to be a living sacrifice that you can't take no times out. You can't put your righteousness on the shelf and pick it up when it's convenient. And there are no leaves of absence from your responsibility. It's unto death. We ought to take on the image of Jesus Christ and be a living sacrifice. Jesus like. See what I'm saying? To be Jesus like. I'm not asking you to be Jesus. I know you can't walk in the shoes that Jesus walked in, because then it would be two Jesuses. To be Christ like, for we could never be Christ. And if we could, men would begin to boast. And God said he'll never give you an opportunity to boast. You see, we should learn, and we could never be sinless, but we should learn to sin a little less each day. Once we accept Jesus Christ, God began to work in us. There's a scripture in Philippians, the second chapter, for those who write in Philippians 2 and 13, which says, "For it is God that work in you to will and to do his good pleasures." When I read that scripture, that was freedom. Because I know it's not all about what I can do and what I do wrong. They say, "It is God that worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasures." When they say it is God who worketh in you, that means God give you the desire. To will means give you the desire, and to do means to accomplish. He's working in and through you, giving you the desires that's in his Bible, his word, that you can do them, and he's giving you all the tools necessary to accomplish them. What you have to do, I'm going to action tell you this tonight, get out the way and allow God to work his work in and through you. When we do things our own way and don't follow God's plan, we will end up in trouble. I guarantee you that. God evaluates both our heart and our motives. You know, you might be doing something that's right, but you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And he also look at the quality that we offer him. 24 hours in a day, and we give him 5 minutes. Come on now. He gave you more than enough money, and you won't even share it with somebody that needs just a little. He gave you talents to use for the body of Christ and in the kingdom of God, and you sat on them. We should not worry about how much we are giving up. For all things are God's in the first place. Instead, we should joyously give to God our best time, money, possessions, and talents. You see, an acceptable sacrifice was holy to God then. He had them bringing the bulls, the cows, the goats, the blah, 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 blah. And today he's asking us to become a living sacrifice in the way that we live with others and for him. So God accepted sacrifices back then, and he's also accepting sacrifices now. Yourselves. Ourselves. We should let our light so shine so that men could see the works and glorify the Father. God created all of us for his glory. And when we truly let our light shine and give him glory, we become a sacrifice, acceptable and holy unto God. If we say we are his, there should be evidence in the way we live. The Holy Spirit is working in you and helping you to develop you in all the areas in your life, that you become a living sacrifice. God never asks you to do anything on your own. And where he guides, he provides. Yes, he have intended purpose for you, and he has arranged and rearranged all the matters in your life that you could walk in it if you get in position and you have a desire, clean hands and a clean heart, and then your life start developing into all that God had intended for you. And you see, where he guides, he also provides. He's not setting you up to fail, and he know, you know, he know everything about us. And God is never going to ask you to do something that's beyond your ability. We live in a world, but we shouldn't act like the world or be of the world. We have to become disciplined in the way we live. Discipline is sometimes hard but necessary to produce change. There's a famous saying that change is inevitable. Change gonna take place. They sacrificed animals then. Now they, you know, they, God is asking us to be a living sacrifice. See, change is inevitable, but growth is an option. God has taken us out of darkness into the marvelous light. So when you study the word of God, you should not just be hearers, but become doers. People are looking at us, y'all, and reading us when they don't read the Bible. Are you a living sacrifice for God? And the second scripture says, the second verse scripture, Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Simple. Do not conform to the things of the world, but be ye transformed. And to be transformed, the scripture is saying we got to renew our mind. You see, once we accepted Jesus Christ, God had a perfect and good plan for us. Christians are called not to conform any longer to the patterns of the world with its behaviors and customs that are usually selfish and often corrupt. Do you consider worldly behavior off limits? When we see the word conform, it means to be fashioned as something or someone else. Also to accept and agree with it as good. The world view should never become our guide for living as a child of God. Just look around. Anything goes. The Bible is our daily instruction for our daily living. So let us let the word of God become our moral compass. You might ask, what does a living sacrifice look like in a practical sense? We are living sacrifice for God by not being conformed to this world. So if you're not being conformed daily to this world, you are a living sacrifice. You see, the world is defined for us as the lust of the flesh. This is in the Bible, y'all. The lust of the eye and the pride of life. That's the way the Bible defines the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You see, sin, as I said earlier, dwells in the flesh. We will not be able to conquer the flesh until Jesus comes, as I said earlier. Take this old body away and give us a new body. You see, the lust of the eyes mostly involve materialistic things. And it's a lot of covetousness going on. And what that is, wanting whatever you see that you don't have, and envying those who have what you want. the one of the Ten Commandments say, "Thou shalt not covet it." You see, the pride of life is defined as an ambition for that which puffs us up and puts us on the throne in our own lives. You know how you see some people puffed up, walking around with their chest puffed out? They might have a lot of money. They might have a lot of education. They might have a good job. It might be a many things, and they could just don't have nothing going on, but they just feel that way about themselves. You see, the pride of life is defined as an ambition for what puffs us up and what puts us on a throne in our own lives. You see, that's when we begin to boast. But I want to tell you, most of the time when you're doing all that, other people looking at it and it don't look as good to them as you think it is. Sometimes you're only fooling yourself. And you see what happens, they become legends in their own minds, doing whatever seemed right in their own eyes. Y'all know anybody like that? But I want to let you know we are not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go. It's God's way, or you can take the highway. The choice is yours. You see, that was talking about conforming, and the other thing was transformation. And I want you to know, for anything to transformate, it demands change. You know, they got the movie and the little figures, the Transformers. The Transformers start out as a big man or whatever, and then you start clicking it, and you start taking the parts, and you click them, and then, you know, you look up, now you got a man. So that big man that was standing up there became a car because it was transformed. Because transformation makes change. You see, Paul states that this transformation should take place. And how do it begin to take place? You have to begin to renew your mind. You see, Satan play all his tricks in the boardroom of your mind. And I'm telling you today, y'all, please evict Satan out of your head. He been there in some head so long. He done took squatter's rights. And don't let him have free rent in your head. You see, the only way that Satan can work on us or through us is in our mind. You should be strengthened by knowing the fact that if Satan didn't get you back then, when you was wilding deep in your sin, when you didn't have God on your mind, when you did anything and everything you thought you was big and bad enough to do, if Satan couldn't get you back then, while all of that was going on, and now you done met the Savior, and God became your Heavenly Father, you ought to know he won't be able to get you now. So keep it moving. Stay in your lane. Try with all your mind, your body, and soul to please God. You know, people always say, "I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus." But in rebuking Satan, we must understand what he's trying to do. If you pay attention, you will learn Satan's tricks and tactics. Because he don't have nothing new. Satan needs to get you to accept his perception. That's what he's doing all the time. Once it is in your head and you entertain it long enough, you start believing that it's your perception, which makes it your reality. And you know, everybody have a reality, but it doesn't mean that it's true. It doesn't even mean that it makes sense. It's their reality. But as I said earlier, allow the Bible to be your moral compass and let your reality be based on the things of God, and you'll make it. I want to let you know it's never what comes in your mind. It's not what comes in your mind. That's the biggest problem. But it's what you do with it once it gets there. The Bible says we should think on things that are lovely, think on things that are good, think on things that are of a good report, so that our mind can be acceptable unto God. Get that trash out your mind. Because that's where it starts, your head. That's why I was thinking and meditating one time, and I say, you know, I believe I have a decent heart. But I know that I have to learn to line my head up with my heart so that I may not sin against God. All kind of things come in your mind. That's why sometimes when people make mistakes, they say, don't charge it to my heart, charge it to my mind. It's not that hard if you could see it coming. If we learn and we begin to read the Word of God, we will know the will of God, because it says, so as a man think, so is he. Just like God chose the Israelites to be his holy people, his holy nation, he wanted to love on them and for them to love on him. That's the same thing he wants from us, his children. You see, God chose the Israelites, and he wanted the Israelites to be a holy nation, and God was going to work with them, and they was going to obey God. And because of the relationship that God had with the Israelites, that the other surrounding nation can see how God works it all out together for the good for the Israelites, and they may want to come and join God's kingdom. That's the same thing God wants from us. He wants us to be a living sacrifice so people could say, yeah, they really truly love the Lord, and I could see that God is blessing them, and they may want some of God. But if we look exactly like the world look, but we say we are child of God, then the people that's out there have no reason to join you, because you're just like them. The Bible says once we accept Christ, we become peculiar people. You got to remember, Hollywood encouraged us to envy sinners and foolishly compare ourselves with these people. Often the popularity of stars is due to their ability to stir up dissatisfaction with our own lives. Beyonce come out with a new hairstyle, and they're going to spend $700 on hair to try to get that hairstyle. They no longer like what they have. You see what I say? The popularity of stars is due to their ability to stir up dissatisfaction with our own lives. You see, advertisers prey on the natural tendency to love the world. And most marketing campaigns in some ways address this. Watch this. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. You know that. They might have a commercial with a lady selling a car, and she got on a bikini. But God tells his children to set their priorities according to his eternal value system. And if you use the Word of God, you'll know that Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Everything that this world has to offer is temporal. People always make the statement, oh, when you die, you can't take it. I never saw a house behind a hearse. You know, and all of these things. It is temporal. Everything in this world will pass away, but only what you do for Christ will last. And as I close tonight, if your life and the things that you are doing are the same things you were doing before you met Christ, and you're doing the same thing after you met Christ, I come to tell you tonight, something is wrong. Now, I'm not telling you going to be perfect, and that's why plenty of times, there are plenty of things in your life when the statement is made, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. But all of us still have some things in life that we should be, you know, working on putting behind us. Because if it's the same look then as it is now, there's no Christian growth. The more we present our bodies unto God, the more Christian growth we will gain. We'll become more matured in the things of God. You know, stop drinking milk and learn how to eat meat. And you see, the babes in Christ, I like to say they sit in a high chair. But the Christians in Christ sat in a wide chair. Why, God, you allow this to happen to me? Why I'm not better off than I was? Why everybody have more than me? Why? Are you in the wide chair? And some of us are still in the high chair. Hallelujah. We will be strengthened in the things of God. Maturity in Christ has many benefits and blessings. The more you know, the more you grow, the more you show. The more you learn and Christian growth you receive, the more faith you have, the more grace you abound in. It just gets better and better with time. Hallelujah. I want you to know God is doing his part. What about you? God's purpose for our life can only be accomplished once we totally submit unto him. Because whatever you feed, that is what will grow. And that's our program for tonight. If anyone would like to make a statement, anyone would like to pray, anyone would like to give words of encouragement, anybody have a praise report, want to talk about something God did for them, through them, and because of them. God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. So I'm asking that you guys be blessed. There's so much going on in the world, and I don't even want to begin to talk about, you know, the decisions of our leaders. But God is in control, and he got you. When God say put on the whole armor of God, which is found in the book of Ephesians, everything that he have to put on goes to the front. Because he got your back. Your front and your side, but he got your back. Trust him. That's our lesson for tonight. No one has pressed any of the buttons. Oh, I have a caller. Caller, your number is 504-45107. Your mic is open.
I want to thank you, Ms. Diane. This is Lamont Chambers, Matthew Chambers' father, for all you have done for me. And this the light within you that I didn't see before, but I see now, has made me shine and want to look and want to just do more and want to see more in life. Because with a grandmother like you, with my son, you know, I can't ask for nothing more. Because you know what? You brought him to the throne. And if I can see my son at the throne, I can be at the throne. And I just want to just thank you and to say I love you, and I'm going to always love you. Amen.
I love you too, Lamont. And you know I do. That's Madison's father. Both of them is in Oklahoma. Madison is with his father. But I thank you for taking the time and pressing the buttons and giving the words of encouragement, you know. And because, you know, everybody could use a little encouragement sometime. I don't care who you are. I don't thrill it. You know, I don't seek it and got to have it to function. But it feel good.
You don't drill it, but
and I just say thank you.
You don't drill it. You don't give it. It's just within you. I mean, you know, people might not know, but I remember Christmas when somebody didn't have something, they was outside, and you brought them inside. You didn't even know what it was, but you brought them inside. If they don't know nothing about you, you know, this is a woman of God. And, I mean, you know, I may have slept and woke up and slept again, but if nobody don't know her like I know her, this is a true woman of God. And it makes me feel so good just to be just around her, because you know what? She make you, if you don't want to do better, she makes you want to do better. If you don't see, she makes you see. I mean, with the words she say and what she does, you know, she breaks it down to a decimal to understand this is what God has to do for you.
I thank you so much.
Thank you. And you know, it took a lot out of me to press that one button, but I had to take and do it because, you know, I just feel like sometimes you're just talking to me. Like, hey, press that button. Tell these people what you tell me.
Oh, I didn't tell you that. I don't want them to think I told you to press the button.
You didn't tell me to press the button, but it's just like I feel like you talk to me sometimes, so I have to press the button, but I get kind of shy. But you know what? I trust it, you know, and this is me.
And I thank you. I thank you so much.
And I thank you so much for this loving me, this loving me always, no matter how it goes.
All praises be unto God. And thank you so much, Lamont.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else would like to say something? We still have time. You could press the one button on your phone. And if not, I'm going to do a benediction. And a benediction that I love to do is my prayer for you. And it says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If all of us should grow, because if we grow, we mature and we receive mature blessings. And then we grow and we let our light so shine and we grow and we become a living sacrifice and we grow more and we stop conforming to this world and we begin to be transformed in the things of God. We grow and then we glow. So everybody have a blessed week. If God says the same, we'll be back on next Wednesday. I love each and every one of you. And thank you for being a part of the Wednesday night Bible study, Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. Good night and be blessed.